What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
This episode of Bussin' with the Boys is presented by Barstool Sports.
True. Very slimming. Very slimming. I don't know if you could notice, but I mentioned that, which I thought was being recorded. I have a yolk stain.
Oh, that's egg yolk?
Egg yolk.
God damn it, Zach.
I know. Dude.
I'm like trying to keep my personality, but that just pisses me off, dude.
What are you trying to keep your personality? Like what? Like you're fake?
No. Like,
are you bipolar?
I'm trying to like be in the podcast that we're trying to do now, right. But I just can't help but think like,
no, it's okay. To be the thing is, hold on, Zach. I think if anything, you don't want to interrupt right now, right? Of all the top things we don't want to do, maybe piss us off twice. Because there's a smile here, but this is a fucking, there's a brewing going inside. Ooh. You know when you have to shit really bad?
Yeah.
Like that, but everywhere.
Really?
I'm about to run somewhere and just let it all out. Because I don't want to do that in front of our interns and stuff. And we were just about to compliment you guys and how great you have all been, especially you, Alex. Yet you couldn't press the play button back there.
Well,
when we said we're rolling.
And if we're going to put it on one single person.
No, put it on me.
Yeah, because you're the producer.
Yeah.
So it is on you.
It's on me.
You're sitting in this chair. I came and interrupted your guys' podcast.
Honestly, I thought was going well. What'd you guys think?
It started out as a joke. I started out as a joke, and then it turned into...
Well, that's kind of how it happens.
Well, but you got to know, how we are. It's important for people to know the preference of women that you like. You're turning 21.
Yeah.
This weekend, actually.
Yeah.
June 13th.
Yep.
You're turning 21 years old. So you, given your ID, if you have your ID on you, because you're not getting let in anywhere if you don't have an ID.
No,
you can. The world is your oyster.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere, do anything, drink anything you want, right? Yeah. So it's about time to start, you know... fishing that thing around.
Wait, where
we need?
where are we going? Where are we going to start?
Oh, so
we're getting on him for messing up the pod.
Yeah, but we were.
Are we circling back around to the woman talk?
We will circle back to that. What we need to do is get on Zach about the pod because he did it was a very bad job.
Yeah.
Yes.
You should have started the podcast. We're mad. Okay, we've done it.
Yep.
Then what else were we talking about?
I'll throw it up for us.
Scroll up to the regular the intro part that it shouldn't be difficult for me to remember, but I'm still gonna put it there.
Oh yeah, we forgot.
So okay, hey, well, fuck, this podcast might be fucked now, but hey, we're bussing with the boys. You are bussing with the boys. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. We got Twitter, we got Instagram, we got YouTube. Just type it all in, dude. Subscribe, and then do me a little favor. Take that mouse. Put it over the subscribe button after you've already subscribed, and it'll give you an option to unsubscribe. Click that button and unsubscribe. But you're not disrespecting us. You're helping the boys.
Right.
Because you need to go back and then resubscribe. Now, that little bip, bop, bip, that subscribe, unsubscribe, scribe, that is going to make us go just up in the ranks, get more people interested. What are these boys in the bus doing? How come their ratings are so high? Why? Because our core foundation, our cult, dude, are the den, the bus, the pups, the wolves, dude, everybody, each of you who have been so fucking amazing from day one, you're just making us grow, dude. And we're all just growing together because our foundation is solid. We've got a solid fucking foundation and we're just pyramiding up to the top. No, we're about like, you know, middle to lower range right now.
Yeah.
I would say that.
I would say we're very working middle class.
Working middle class.
Blue collar podcast.
A podcast for the boys, by the boys.
Yes.
That's exactly what we are.
With the boys.
A very not diverse group of boys. I will
right.
say.
Right. I know you look around the bus and it's, you know, you question
yourself. A lot of white chocolate out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
It's uncomfortable.
That's what it is.
You say it.
It is what it is.
I'll tell you.
Zach, you're fired.
We need to tell the deal. You said there's a really good way for you to subscribe, unsubscribe, and resubscribe so you can get the boys a little more love.
Right. So the reason we tell you to unsubscribe and resubscribe, outside of just being obnoxious and being ourselves, is the benefit of subscribing. There's a window. The first 24 hours of podcast drops, where when you do subscribe and download the pod, you get a little boost.
Boost.
So if you're a person that listens to the pod on Monday night or Tuesday morning, that obviously helps us. If you're somebody that listens to it later in the week, that's where the whole subscribe, resubscribe thing comes in, because the closer you are to drop, that's where your bonus comes in for all the ratings. That's how people climb the ladder. That's how people get to the top. But it's day one, you got a big boost. Day two, you got a little boost. Day three, very, very minimal. Day four, everybody's on the same field. One for one, all of that fun stuff.
Really?
That's the reason. Yeah, that's the strategy.
Well, that kind of goes into... Oh, now we're starting a clock. That kind of goes into what I was saying right before when we started recording, is there's different tiers.
Yes.
To each Busting with the Boys lad character wolf. All right? There's our fucking hardos, dude. The one that if we said, hey, drink this, they drink it. They wouldn't even ask.
Oh, yeah,
hey,
yeah, yeah.
Put this in your vein. Smoke this. Snort this. They would fucking do it from the get-go.
They're watching our show literally decked out in all of our gear.
Right. Wearing Busting with the Boys merch.
Yeah.
Maybe has a Compton tattooed on their forearm with a 51. Maybe all of your numbers you've had. How many numbers have you had?
Just, well.
You had that hot little spell for 40, with like 49 for like
so,
2 days.
Yeah. I was 46 in training camp, my rookie training camp.
Uh-huh.
When I got on the active roster, that one game, my rookie year that I got called up in,
yeah,
I was number 53.
Oh.
But then from that point on, I've been 51 every
So year. Just three numbers.
And in college, 51.
So those are the only numbers you have to get tattooed on your forearm.
Yeah.
If you were a real fucking hardo.
Yeah.
If you love the boys.
With the quote, I would die for the boys.
Oh my God. Here's the thing too, is I really don't want that responsibility.
I know, right?
But at the same time, do it, you know?
And that's what tier is that? That's like wolf.
That's like you fucking, like you would die for the boys.
Yeah. Like
I think that's a good title.
Wolf fucking. Yeah.
That's like, dude, that's like Charles Manson. Like kind of like I'm into it like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you have your own nicknames. You don't go by your government name anymore. You go by Lulu and Sparkles and Flower. Like we call you what we want. And then you just move on.
Yeah.
So then there's tier two. All
What's
right.
Tier two.
Tier two would be like, you don't download Monday or Tuesday. You're like a Wednesday follower, right?
Yeah. See the stuff online. Maybe.
Yeah.
You laugh see, at it. You favorite.
Oh,
retweet.
That's good. No. Maybe don't retweet. Maybe you don't. You just look at it.
Okay,
go,
yeah, maybe
no, no,
you don't.
No. You actually, no, this is tier two. You're right. I'm sorry. You would retweet. You would like. You would giggle. Oh, my God. What are the boys up to?
Yeah, these
today?
Boys are stupid. These guys, wife.
Yeah. Maybe like.
Show to your house.
Send it. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Shout out to girls, too.
Shout out for the girls. Yep. No free shout outs, though. You would go and send it off to your significant other. Show your dog. It doesn't care. If you're baked at home. You're just going to show your dog. Hey, look at that. Dog's like, oh,
the boys.
Is that a treat? No, it's not. All right. That's tier two. That's like. You want to be tier one, but you're not quite tier two. Then there's tier three. All right. And I'm only going to make three tiers because it just gets muddy after three.
Yeah.
Right. It just gets super muddy.
Right.
Tier three would be like you don't follow, you don't subscribe, and you don't rate 5 stars, but you're aware. You're aware of the boys. You see Barstool and you see that the boys have kind of just been dominating everything we've done.
Ooh,
from day one.
All the games out there, dude.
Everything, dude. First was Price is Right. Yeah, Price is Right. No.
Family Feud.
Family Feud. Family Thank you. Feud. Yep. Alex is that again. See, Alex is trying to make a comeback because he didn't press play before. You got Family Feud. Killing it. Doing a great fucking job.
Yeah.
BFF. BFF. We dummied that. It got hairy for a second.
Right.
Had to go down to a vote, but we've won that. And now our most recent venture, which it might be over when this podcast ships off into the night, we're doing beer pong now. And we have won 2 rounds.
Yes. We're in the Sweet 16.
We're in the Sweet 16. Today we have won our second round. Will, a dicey game.
It was dicey. We were going one for one.
Bang,
not going double cups where you get balls back. No one ever got balls back. We were kind of meeting one for one until we got down to three. She couldn't really get out of the three spell.
Yeah.
I got it down to one, but I was stuck in the final cup for like 6 rounds.
No way.
And sweating. I was sweating.
I'm sweating right
to
now.
To me, there's a lot. There's a lot riding on the game. There's a lot. You know what I mean? It's like, you beat PFT. Huge win.
Big win.
Because part of my take.
But was it? Thank you. Hey, Alex. 2 for 3 today. 2 for 3. Thank you. Thank you, fellas.
I like that vibe. You know where we get that vibe. We won't say it. We won't say that vibe.
Maybe the tier one people can hear about this, but definitely not the tier three people.
Three people are probably more like our teammates and guys who are aware and they want to push the brand, but they don't want to fully commit.
Tier three would be like Mike Vrabel. Like, you know,
but you know, he probably listens to some.
Oh,
of
he
dude.
Listens to everything.
He's like a
dude.
He's like a an undercover tier one.
Yeah, he is like an undercover. That's a really good reference to what Mike Vrabel, head coach of Tennessee.
He's a closet tier one.
Yeah. He is a closet tier one, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, his family would be so disappointed if he came out.
We need to have him on.
His wife would be upset.
July's coming around the corner. We need to get that Vrabel episode ready for football season.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you have him on again, where do you go from cutting off your piece? Like, what's that next door we open?
I think we open that door together and we figure it out.
Like both hands on the knob at the same time?
Yeah, yeah. And we just have him on and we talk about him being a closet.
Him being a closet bussin'. A closet BTWDB? BTWB.
WBWTB.
BWTB. You know, I'm gonna.
But yeah, we have him on that one. We have him on, and yeah, that's about the end of
he's
that.
He's a fan. Yeah, that's about the end of that. But he's a tier three guy for sure.
But those are the tiers. To explain, to get back to the whole subscribing and the downloading thing, that's why all that shit kind of matters.
Tier one would be like qualified as Will Compton rookie year. Just a fucking get after it, grimy.
You're effort, ready, dude. Yeah.
You'll do anything for the fucking cause. You know what I'm saying? Tier two would be like,
how did we describe tier two? Okay, tier two would probably be. Are we referencing all these to my kind of thing? Is that what you're trying to do?
No, tier three.
I'm
was
down
tier,
with
tier
that.
Two is Mike Vrabel. I just seen in tier two because tier three is Mike Vrabel. You're following, but you're not following. You pretend like you're not a part of it, but you want to be a part of it so bad.
Yeah.
But you just don't know a good end. It's like the cool kids at the playground. You see them. You've had lunch. You guys had matching things one time. You guys both opened your lunchbox and you guys both had bananas. And you go, oh.
And you're like, bananas, man, he would think I'm cool as shit.
Yeah. We have the same meals at lunch, for God's sakes. Yeah. But then you just don't know how to start that conversation.
Right.
I'll tell you how you start the conversation, tier threes. Mike Vrabel's. Just subscribe and rate 5 stars. And then just fucking comment, dude. Comment and just love us.
Engaging is real.
I'll tell you
what. We could do better at engaging. Our personals. We're getting really used to Alex picking up the slack.
Who's we can be better at engaging? Because
maybe you do.
I'm comfortable with where I'm at.
Maybe it's me that doesn't do it enough.
You are on Twitter a lot. No, it's not a bad thing. Are we talking about your Twitter?
No. We're talking. I meant engaging with Bustin' with the Boys posts, like saying something underneath, like stuff.
Like I need to say something underneath stuff.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe. I mean, Alex never tells us if we need to do better.
Well, you guys have both. You have different standards for like where you want to be, though. Like Taylor was just about to say, like Will likes to be engaging way more than Taylor does, and so I expect to see more out of Will than I do Taylor as far as Twitter goes.
Wow.
Okay.
It's kind of like Alex knows me better now, dude. Alex has gone from a tier three guy for me to a tier two guy for me as far as like liking me.
Alex is very introspective.
What's introspective mean?
I don't know, but Alex taught me that word. I use it in every conversation. Basically.
You know what I thought of the minute you said introspective? Interstellar. That movie.
It's a great movie.
It is a good movie, but it's kind of out there, right?
Yeah. Do you want to know what introspective means?
Go ahead.
Alex, go ahead. Do us the honors.
It's like just, it's like self-analysis, just reflecting. Kind of like you may feel after watching Interstellar.
Oh, so I was on it.
Yeah, you're very introspective by thinking very thoughtful of what you just watched.
So it's just being thoughtful?
Yeah, but reflecting it against like yourself, like looking inwards to yourself.
Yeah.
Not just like analytical, you know what I mean? Like it's inwards type stuff.
Yeah. No, I'm with that.
Like watching something or seeing something and what is it? What did it mean to you on a deep level?
Yeah. I'm not sure how many times I have to say I get it, but no, I'm for sure on board with
You know what the crowd did miss?
What's that?
Fucking fuck COVID.
Oh, they missed COVID. The boys are back on the bus. Fuck you, COVID-19.
The boys are back on the
bus.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
We did it. We did it. It's still out there, though. So keep your head on a swivel, boys. I love each and every one of you. Keep your head on a swivel. Could get us at any time.
Yeah.
They say 3 in 4 people that get it don't even show symptoms.
I saw the asymptomatic thing.
Like, you had a scare.
I did.
Not you, your fiance.
Yeah, Charo had it. Yeah, Charo had the flu for like, how long did it go? I think 6 days for sure. In the 7 days when it started, like, okay, here's where it's. She had a 104.8. I read on the thermometer, and I've never seen a 104.8.
No.
And she had it every day around 4 to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Is when it would hit hard. And it was fucking scary. It was legit kind of like. And then everybody's like, hey, don't go to the hospital yet, not unless, like, she can't breathe or has trouble breathing because you don't want to put her there because you can be around other people. Just a whole thing, dude.
Now, I don't want to speak out of turn of COVID because I was not affected by it yet medically. But I heard people, the numbers are really fucking inflated on COVID because of, like, if I say you have COVID, Medicaid or something like pays me as a doctor like $35,000 more as opposed
right,
to
right. Five. We
like,
heard that on the Rogan pod.
That's right. That wasn't
we heard that on the Rogan pod with Elon Musk.
That's right.
He's like, you could get hit by a bus and go to the hospital. And if you cough, like before you were to die, they could chalk you up as COVID because
super
of
extreme. That's a super extreme one.
Right. Well, he went really extreme by saying if you get attacked by a shark, then he took it to bus.
Yeah. Getting hit by a bus. I don't know why that, like, like if you're saying, hey, that's a little extreme, like maybe go to something else. Yeah. Like I and had then, a heart like, attack.
Since hospitals are kind of like having to furlough a lot of people and like, don't take me out of context, everybody.
Dude, it sounds like you could be easily taken out of context.
For sure. Because this isn't a matter of like fact, because I don't like, I'm just regurgitating what I heard.
Can I tell you something real quick?
Go ahead.
You sound smart as fuck.
Thank you.
Use the word introspective, something about furlough a little bit. Dropping some big words today, dude. And, you might need to sit in that seat from now on. And, like, you just seem smarter to me.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, go ahead.
And since hospitals were furloughing their employees and having to come out of pocket more, I guess is the right term, that if you put somebody, what was it, on a ventilator, you could, the government or somebody would write you $35,000
compared to
if they weren't on a ventilator and they passed away without any COVID symptoms, it'd be like $5,000. It was some kind of example that made it make sense from a perspective of why people would inflate certain numbers or why hospitals would go this route and people take them out of context. And then this is taken out of, like, it's just, dude, there's so many levels.
Well, it's kind of a catch 22, right? Because if, let's say this is a conspiracy theory. Let's say the government's behind this shit. I'm not saying they are.
Right.
But
if I love a good conspiracy theory.
I love a good conspiracy theory. I think everyone.
I can get lost for hours on YouTube. So let's hear it. I love a good
shout out YouTube and the conspiracy theories. Yeah,
no doubt.
If I'm the government and I'm releasing this thing, if you inflate numbers, that's one thing. But also, if you're inflating numbers that much, the people that make it, I don't know, it's a weird thing to say, the people that live or are not like dramatically affected, that percentage goes way down.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a sliding scale. Like, what makes it scarier? Lower number of people get hit, but a lot of people are getting hurt, or a higher number and less people are getting hurt?
Yeah. That was tough to follow you.
What, but were you with me?
A little bit.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I zoned out for about 3 seconds. Okay. And lost you.
No, that's all right.
You said the hurt thing. What's the hurt thing?
So like I'm saying, like, if you are affected, so people are dying off COVID-19, right?
Right.
So if your numbers, if you're saying we're putting people on ventilators, not saying you're saying that, I'm saying people say that.
Right.
So regardless, like, oh, he's got a minor cough, ventilator. I know it's dramatic. Right. Keep following me. Those numbers are going to go up. The number of COVID-19 cases are going to go through the roof. All right. And the people that are dying are low. That would make the percentage of people dying much lower.
Right.
When you look at the numbers of COVID-19, the people that are affected versus the people that are recovering, that number is so low. Now you're giving people an opportunity to say, well, it's no worse than the flu. It's no worse than this. It's no worse. Like, we should be able to go out and work. We should be able to go to that instead of just being like, the data being miscued.
Yeah, like, it's like in a year or two, like looking back on the data, and then you're able to kind of compare it to the other stuff that's happened in the past. But I know you're saying, like, cases compared to deaths.
No question.
Because people, again, it's like, and now that then the asymptomatic article comes out from WHO, World Health Organization. And then you're just like, you just kind of throw up your hands. Like, okay, people who aren't showing the symptoms, they're not the ones that are passing it on.
Right.
So it's just confusing.
It's a really confusing virus.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. And it's slow burning. It's like a slow burning virus. Like, it's not. Usually when something is super strong, like affects a population like that, like those die out. Those viruses kind of die faster because they don't have like a good like incubation period to kind of help themselves spread.
Right, yeah.
Because if you're not showing signs, but I'm hanging out with the boys and I'm kind of just picking you guys off one by one, and one out of four you get hit.
Yeah.
Like, that thing's living a little longer, right? We're making a little more moves. Now we're 2 to 14 days before this thing starts to show up.
Right.
No, so that's a little more, this thing's intelligent. This COVID-19 thing. If I were to ask you, is this thing a natural thing or is this man-made? What would you think?
I don't know.
Because it came out of Wuhan, I think, right? Wuhan?
If I was at a Vegas casino and I was betting money.
Putting money down. Your entire life savings.
Knowing I can lose. Right. And seeing the other side that I can lose.
Right.
But I would push. I would push on the man-made stuff because I like a good conspiracy theory.
You like a good conspiracy theory, and you're willing to wager money on the fact that it was man-made.
Yeah.
Because I could like a lot of things. Hey, when that little ball is spinning around a roulette table, I love black.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I'm putting my whole life savings on black now.
Well, I'm not putting my whole life savings. Like I'm betting a conservative chance. I'm going to take the minimum times it by five, and then that's what I'm putting on the table.
I said you had to put the whole life savings on. If you had to, gun to the head, you want to die?
I don't know. I might just default to natural.
What does that mean?
I feel like it's the safer.
Oh, you just go to natural?
I feel like that's the safer thing to say.
Is it, though? Let's go around the room.
Yeah, what do you think, Zach? What do you think? Natural or man-made?
I kind of feel like it could have been man-made. I feel like...
Now we need a definitive answer.
I'm feeling like Russia, China's like kick back, like kind of licking their chops. Like, they could use something like this for like biochemical warfare.
Holy
like,
shit.
I know. When this stuff started coming around, like our economy started shutting down, people started staying home, some people started dying. Like, I feel like just Russia and China and some of those enemies of ours are just kind of sitting back and watching. Because this could have been a ploy by them to just see what would happen.
But it was also affecting them, like in like China and stuff, right?
It was affecting them like January, February.
But that's if you didn't want to get caught, that's what you would do, right?
You take out a couple of Mises, that's plural for mouse. Take out a couple of maces to get a whole bunch of maces on the other side.
I think
you don't
if you want to go mouse to mouses, it would be like, it wouldn't say meces. It'd be like meese.
I think it's an opinion.
Because, you know what I mean? Like, deer is plural.
Well, it would just be mice.
It'd
right?
be mice, yeah. I said that as a joke, but you try to get serious. It's okay.
Hey,
we kind of fucked
I
up.
I struggle sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Why? You struggle why, though?
I don't know why. I think the Mises thing threw me off.
Oh, that I literally I spelled threw a wrench Mises.
Yeah. I spelled M-E-E right there. I know. Got the boy slipping.
Something else to think about of it being man-made, and we're just spitballing here, folks. All right?
Yeah.
We're
definitely just spitballing.
But like, if I'm a conspiracy theorist now, which we do like a good conspiracy theory.
Yes.
We do like a good one. If I'm the government and I need to know how to control a population... And I release this thing that's not as bad as it is.
Fear.
Fear, saying everyone needs to stay in their house. They've done a pretty good job of saying, stay in your house. You're going to, CDC was saying, like, we might never go back to the original way we used to do life, like office spaces. People might just work from home now.
Well, a lot of businesses.
And then they backtracked real fast. Actually, after Portnoy said some shit, but it wasn't the CDC. It was something started with an F. Alex?
Alex, to you. But businesses had to learn how to pivot and do everything else, and people started working remotely, and businesses that have became successful from it. It's like, why, if you can utilize people working from home more and not go into an office space and
overhead
Like, why rent a huge ass space when you can kind of downsize that and people can kind of work from home if you have a good process in place? We had to adapt.
We always
had to do Zoom podcasts, which fucking sucks.
Zoom podcasts can fucking kick rocks, dude. And I think Zoom hacked me one time. We can get
you were big on the Zoom hacking.
I thought I was getting hacked. We had to go to a password because of me.
Yeah, for sure. You were all about that goddamn password.
I'll tell you that password.
It's like, hey, we're having a bust with the boys pod, but if we're, you know, but yeah, for sure. But we had to go to Zoom, which sucked. We had to do our pods like on those little. At first, we were like not necessarily about it, but remember, we wanted to do the most.
We did a lot in the beginning.
We started the picking with the boys.
Bit off a lot more than we could chew, I think.
We did, for sure.
Started doing that choking thing you did that one night. Remember when you choked? Almost died that night.
Yeah.
But you started picking with the boys, started quarantining with the boys.
It was solid, but it's a lot of fucking... We bit off a lot more than we could chew. Because there'd be days where we'd sit there all like, what else we can do? And then we would start doing it. And then days would go on, it's like, hey... It's like we can't.
It's a lot of fucking stuff here.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
We had the Derek Carr one, and it's like that one should have just been a fucking podcast.
It should have just been a podcast, dude. I think Alex fucked that up, actually. He wanted to make that not a podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, like, we're 50-50 with Alex.
Yeah.
50-50 with Alex.
Yeah.
What's today? Today's June 9th.
Yeah.
June 9th.
So, Matt Neely.
Matt Neely Day, dude.
Fucking Matt Neely Day, dude.
What do we do? Miss the boy.
Do we?
6/9. That was Matt's favorite number. I think it's pretty obvious to figure out why it was his favorite number. It's hilarious.
What do you think Matt would be most hype about today?
He'd be so mad about COVID, and he'd be one of those guys that didn't like wouldn't listen. He's like, I'm going out.
I would have to probably text him on the side and call him on the side and tell him, hey, slow it down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's sometimes where he'd be too vocal about, like, once he was with us, about the Titan stuff and things like that. I'm like, hey, bud, you're representing another brand now that you got a Titan on board.
Yeah.
Like, you got to be careful.
Right. Because
people are going to take, especially you, out of context.
No question. If you're going to be with the boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there's some things
you can to reel it in. But he would definitely be somebody that tries to meme the whole COVID thing.
I think for anybody who's listening out there, we do a good job of riding the line, though, as being unbiased as possible.
Yeah.
To the Titans.
We like to find the line.
Find the line, live on the line.
Live on the line.
Straddle the line.
Right.
You gotta dip that toe in that other water, because you know what they say, the grass is always green on the other side.
Do they say
that? I think that's the expression. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
There's like songs for both.
There are there songs?
Yeah, grass isn't always greener.
I think, and let me tell you what, I think you're on fire right now with the Mises now this, because the phrase is actually, the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
But there's also a case for the grass is greener on the other side.
I think, yes, that's the whole point of the moral dilemma. Is the grass greener on the other side? Will, that's exactly, that's like the whole thing, right?
All right, listen.
Hey, I'll tell you what, my boy's taking a lot of shots on that head.
And I have.
I love you.
I have. I love you too.
I'm going to wheel you around. I'm going to wheel you around when you're older. Me and Charo. We are right off a cliff.
Where were we?
We are at Alex now. Oh, is this man-made or is this natural?
We're back to that.
We have to. We have to finish all this. Yeah. The boys.
I would bet man-made.
You would bet your entire life savings on man-made.
I would.
We got a lot of dudes that don't trust this government. We got two.
To me, it's like we were talking about the line. I live on the line to where I try and like listen and see a side from all the sides, so you can kind of stay.
Let
in
me
the
tell
middle.
You what line you live on.
Go ahead.
Because I live on the same line. You live on the line that's like, I kind of have opinion both ways and I don't want to upset anybody. So I'm just going to kind of be like, hey, yeah, but also, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because if you don't stand for anything, ain't nobody going to get mad at you. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
You just sit and go, whoa, we're just talking.
Right. Like, it's like staying in your lane of what your lane, like the path. It's like staying in your lane and then everything you kind of like take in and digest.
Yeah.
You kind of live on that.
You put your blinker on, you try to go to the next lane, but you realize, oh, someone's in your blind spot. So you kind of go back to your lane.
Right.
Just kind of stay in your fucking zone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good place to live because like you learn more. But you also don't cause a little stir about like shit you don't really know.
Right.
Because I'm not super educated on a lot of stuff. I was a general studies major for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I was fucking in that thing like pitter-pattering my whole college. My whole degree is doing this. I'm just pitter-pattering back and forth, right?
It's like I
mimed my way through college.
You hear a subject and you want to know a little bit about every angle.
Right.
And that's kind of like, because if you go too hard on one side, then you got to...
How do you go back?
Get frustrated.
Yeah.
Then you got to think, okay, now I need to learn and study more about this.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, it takes away from my lane of the lane.
Your lane. Your lane of staying where you're at.
The wolf pack journey.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why I have a hard time with politics.
Yeah, because stuff can get fuzzy and then it gets dragged into the political lane.
Yes.
And that's where I'm just like...
And it's also like, who do you agree with? You know, I think Democrats have a good little idea over here. But if you get too far over here, it's like, yo, what are we doing now?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Republicans, they got a good little deal over here, too. You get a little far, things just get a little hairy.
Yeah.
Things start to feel a little uncomfortable on both sides.
Then you get attacked.
I feel way safer in the wheelhouse of my lane. And I got a head shaking over here. I got a head shaking yes over here.
Yeah.
It's just easier to do. Because if I go, I don't know. Well, fuck gun laws. We shouldn't even have to go through a test. Fuck that. We should never do X, Y, and Z. We should always be able to have our guns. But then like mass shootings happen. You know, people are getting guns that shouldn't be getting guns.
Right.
Whatever. It's like, well, now I can't go back on that saying. I have to stand firm on the strong stance I took.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
But now if I stay in the middle and I'm like, man, a lot of shootings going on around here, huh?
Yeah.
People are like, you know, I think we should have some guns. That's not a bad idea. Now, fuck that. No. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we should take it all away now.
Right.
I'm just saying, let's think about this dicey shit for
a
second. It's
like knowing enough to have conversations with everybody.
General studies major. You know what I'm saying? It's the best degree. I don't even think Michigan offers it anymore. I honestly don't.
That is funny.
That's why you got to go to communications next.
And the whole man-made thing to play into that side of it.
Right.
Is you can't. Not, I mean, there's an obvious, it's a political year.
Yeah.
It's like a voting year. So
there's games and chess being played
that we don't even just know about. So that's where it's like, oh, it could be that. Oh, mm-hmm. but it could be that.
That's a bit of a deal.
Yeah, it's a bit of a deal.
It's a bit of a deal. Alex, after you're done looking this up, I'd like to know why you think it's man-made, and we'll go with the next person, which names I'm fully not understanding yet.
Do you think we'll get back to the same normal or a new normal? Like, do you think?
I don't know. To me, like, say when the COVID happens, and it's kind of me with every situation. It's like, whatever's going to happen is happening, and this is where my lane, it's like, I'm going to pivot and adapt however I need to.
Right.
It's like when the COVID hit for busing. It's like, okay, well, let's figure out how this is going to do Zoom. Instead of like, you know, I'm not saying everybody complains and all that, but it's just like shit's going to happen to you constantly.
Right.
So for me, it's whatever happens is going to happen. But the boy's going to be all right because I'm going to adapt in any fucking situation.
Any fucking situation.
The path.
That's not really the path.
That's the path when I think about the path.
Okay. The path to me is just one path. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Point A to point B.
But if your path starts to get fucked out of your control,
no question,
your path shifts a little bit, but you're staying on the path,
which is a strong reason to always control the controllables.
Correct.
Always control your controllables.
Yeah.
That's a little deal. Maybe put that on a shirt.
What are we looking at?
So go ahead, Alex.
It looks like it's actually been proven false, but I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
There was a massive viral post that went out that was basically showing correlation between there being like viral outbreaks and viruses and everything. Every election year over the last like 4 decades or something, and I guess it's not accurate.
What was accurate though?
Like when have
go back to that other thing you had. So SARS was 2004, the avian flu 2008, swine 2010. I remember swine. MERS.
But this was debunked. This
was a debunked deal.
Yeah, allegedly. I mean, who do you want to believe? I don't know.
But the thing is, that's why you stay in your fucking lane.
Because then I start clicking, and then I'm like, why am I fucking, I've wasted an hour.
And here's another reason.
I forget to call Alex back. I forget my entire routine of the day. And then I'm just kind of like frustrated myself.
And then it's 7:30 and you're the hardest person to talk to in the world.
Right. No doubt.
That boy gets a little difficult to talk to after 7:30. I'll tell you what, this is a perfect reason. Perfect what we're talking about right now for staying in your lane and not having too strong of opinions about things, because fucking people, I've lost my train of thought. I'm going to try to bring it back because I actually.
But you just kind of want to respect, like, if you're feeling like, okay, whether you believe in wearing the mask or not, but if a lot of people is wearing the mask, I'm going to wear it because I'm just going to respect what
people
are taking it very seriously.
Because if you're
even if I don't think it should be that big of a deal, I'm just going to put the fucking mask on because
that goes with better be safe than sorry, right?
Right.
Another phrase that we don't need to fuck around with. Yeah. That's how the phrase goes.
Yes.
I think what I was trying to say is that with so much literature that's out there, right? When did the internet start? Like 1996, something like that, some crazy shit like that. Right, so we were all alive then. Were you alive? No, you weren't alive.
Nope. Not even thought of.
Not even fucking thought of yet, dude. You were just getting
created in a little ball sack.
I don't even think
you weren't
even
there.
He wasn't even created in a ball sack, dude. His brothers and sisters were getting sprayed all over the place.
They were. Then his turn, he was waiting in line.
He was waiting in line. Like a roller coaster. He took a number, and he just happened to have that right fucking number.
He didn't have a fast pass. He had to wait in a 3-hour line at fucking Chicago Six Flags.
Dude.
To get on the middle of summer, dude.
Yeah. And it's hot, and you're sweating, and your balls are sweating.
But
you're here, dude. One in a trillion chance. Good for you. There's just so much literature out here to say, like if I'm a Republican, right? Mm-hmm. I can find anything I want to prove my point about being hard Republican. Right. And if I'm a Democrat, hard left Democrat, I can find anything I want to prove what I'm saying is right. Because there's, at the end of the day, politics is an opinion, right?
Right.
And everyone's like, well, stats and blah, blah, blah. If you find a stat for something that I disagree with, I can easily go find a stat on the internet that also.
Right. That'll prove that some other angle. Right. It's like, well, that stat's only there because of this stat over here.
Right.
It's like, all right, dude, I got to go to a meeting, dude.
Yeah. Are we just talking about shit that doesn't even fucking matter anymore?
I like bacon.
Hey, don't do that. Don't fucking do that. Don't you? That shit was fucking funny, though, dude.
That shit was funny.
Alex, why do you believe it's man-made or natural?
I read something, and here I go citing sources that I can't say are credible or not. I read something about how something to do with the protein profiles within the virus's structure. The only way that they're able to build the way that they exist in the virus was through like manual manipulation in a lab. So I don't know if it was released on purpose. But I don't think that the virus itself was naturally occurring.
Gotcha.
It's pretty strong.
That's what I'm saying.
That was the most powerful opinion we've had so far.
And well articulated.
It was.
I never stumbled, never said, none of that. Kind of said it all, made sense, and my eyes are just kind of like this. You're just like, oh, that can make sense.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of believe that now.
You're right, but people could be out there driving and listening to this, and you can almost, people can get upset with you that you just don't know whatever that they're reading. You know what I'm saying? Like these moms, they need to educate themselves.
These
more.
Fucking idiots.
They should just stick to football.
We should. But we won't.
Hey, but we're
not gonna. That's just how it is. That's just how it is.
But bring up the list.
All of our interns, all the people, everybody who sent in a deal to get picked up by Bustin' with the Boys, if you didn't get it, sorry, because the ones that did get are in here. I didn't do anything. I did not do one thing. I did not look over one sheet.
I think everybody knows
I wasn't
by now.
Even asked to look over a sheet. I wasn't even sent a document to courtesy be like, hey, Taylor, check out a couple of these. Tell me what you like. There wasn't even that, dude.
I think everyone understands by now that you're like, you're the talent part of the pod. So you come on and do pods. Like they don't expect you to make all these kinds of decisions.
What is it? What is a talent part of the pod? I just talk. I sit in the same space. If anything, you're more talented than me. You sit in two different spots.
Well, that's because for people that don't understand why I'm sitting here, we lost 15 minutes of this episode because Zach, our producer, was too busy wanting to bullshit and be like, oh, I'm the boy. Will's late, so I'm going to sit in his chair. Forgets to press play to run a podcast with Taylor.
Which I think was the best part of this.
I come on, kind of interrupt. I kind of know, like, okay, I'm about to walk into some fire here because I'm late and they're going to, you know.
Did you think that, though, because you saw my truck and you knew, you thought, oh, shit, well, Taylor being
when
here?
No one had called me or anything like that and I was still on the phone and I saw your truck there, I'm like, he's running a pod by himself, I bet. Like, doing the whole, you know, hey, I can do a pod like on my own.
I bet I can do a pod by myself.
I'm sure you can, too. And when I walk... I didn't connect to this.
Hey, that was a solid little deal.
Hey, and when I walked in and saw Zach sitting in my chair, I'm like, okay, this is going to be a little fun joke. Roll with the punches,
right.
Deliver the latte,
yeah,
and just be like, you know, I was on the phone about some business.
Right.
We had a fun time in those 15 minutes, so that's why Zach is sitting there, and I'm not sitting in that chair. Mm-hmm. But he also fucked up those 15 minutes by not pressing play.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bustin' with the Boys. Our guest is Will Compton.
There he is. Will Compton is
Will
here.
Will Compton, everybody.
Way to go, Will. Very happy to have you. Journeyman in the league. Don't know if you've seen that, but me and Zach won this.
That it's is kind of your bit every time with
So
the,
Bros Network. Well, I'll tell you what. Shout out So Bros, dude. I don't give a shit that this thing costs $4.50 to make. I'm proud of this. Proud of that. And a flip
fell
off.
Oh, it just fell off.
No, it did. Another one?
Another one, I think.
Oh, there's like three of them.
Yo, Taylor,
hey,
first
so
one
bros,
up there.
Hook it up.
First topic up there.
Oh, yeah. Virtual
here's,
meetings.
Here's what I'll ask, because obviously virtual meetings are probably boring as fuck. What has been the worst part about the virtual meeting, the virtual offseason? What's been the best part and what's been the worst part?
The best part about it has really been like being able to... Like, you know me, dude. I'm all over the place. I'm an ADD poster child.
Yeah.
So for me, this has
been
a
solid routine, though.
It's been a cool opportunity to kind of lock that in and try to, like, because if I'm staring at a screen and people are just talking and you're going over something relatively, like, you're going over the nuts and bolts of something that you know.
Yeah.
Like, going over cover one for you. Like, we're going over our base stuff. I know it. This is my third year in the system. So it was cool for me to try to, like, learn to pay more attention to pick up new details and new nuances. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And being more... kind of like in it. What I did like about it is you'd be muted the whole time. So whenever Keith, our offensive line coach, would ask a question, I would answer it out loud, but no one could hear me. But I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And I'd say it and they would say it. And I'm like, all right, cool. I knew that. Like I would try to take it as that. That's been a cool part. It's OTAs, dude. OTAs are annoying as shit. They are.
Yeah.
So the worst part would be, I mean, you had to be on a Zoom call every single day. You got to kind of move your schedule around those Zoom calls. Those are the only thing that you truly have to do every single day.
Yeah.
That would probably be the most annoying part, but it's been cool.
Yeah, I mean, you've got in a solid routine.
Shout out, bleep, bleep, bleep.
But I think it could be better because, like, you know, as you become like a vet and stuff and you figure out like what's good for your body, what's not, it's like cramming in speed, conditioning, and lifting all within 4 hours and then sitting down at a desk like in meetings and then like offense is up first for 2 hours and you got to cram it all in 2 hours. Then you switch to the defense. It's like when you have the entire morning to kind of routine out, structure out, like, how you're going to take care of your body and perform and focus on a goal a day other than like three different goals because you haven't been there the whole time. So strength coach is going to run you into the ground. I think that's where a lot of benefit comes in for vets.
Yeah. It's
for
vets, for sure. I think it's been good for the rookies too, because like you remember the first day you got in a meeting room and you're sitting there looking at these vets.
Yeah, these dudes.
Like, I was looking there looking at Michael Ruse and Chris Spencer, two 10-year guys.
Yeah.
And like, you don't want to fuck up around them. You don't want to say some stupid shit.
No doubt.
So like, it was kind of good as a rookie for the rookies. Like, if you fuck up and you don't know it, you got a little couple extra seconds to think about it, because you can just be like, oh shit, hey, my bad, I was paused.
Yeah.
My bad, I was muted on the deal.
My Wi-Fi is fucking
up. Hey, my Wi-Fi's fucking up. And you can be like, oh yeah, actually it's X, Y, and Z or whatever the answer
is. Coach, you freeze there for a second.
Yeah, hey, what'd you say? And then your head, you're like, okay, what did he mean by that? So that's I think it's a good acclimation period for rookies to kind of feel more part of it. And I know there's some old school cats out there, which we need to talk about in a second. Old school cats out there that are like, no, it's bullshit. Like, rookies need to go through the blah, 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 blah. Which to an extent they do. Rookies do need to get kind of like, you know, verbally abused a little bit, have razzed with, made fun of a little bit.
Right. That's their first time around the guys.
First time around the guys. And you're like bottom of the totem pole. It's kind of like that. It, you know, it's like that in the league. Like, you get shit on, but you learn to also shit on people. Like, right. It's a fun little back and forth, always. But, yeah, that's all I got.
Oh.
That's it.
Solid.
That's all
you're
I have.
You're getting rolling. That. I was like, oh, we're.
You got Zoom podcasts, not Zoom, Zoom meetings for me. What about you? You got some free agency stuff going on? Any calls? What's up?
Well, I've had a couple.
Okay.
Can't say teams.
Okay.
There's
but one. There's obvious, a one of 32. There,
yeah. Obviously, people know that I played with the Raiders last year.
Uh-huh.
But basically, the landscape because there's a lot of free agents still on the market, what I've been told, where the standstill is and that kind of next wave of free agency hasn't happened, because the COVID thing is so up in the air. Not that people are like, oh, football season's going to be fine, blah, blah, blah. But until data comes out and proves, like, these guys go into training camp and get around each other in the locker room, and then they have kind of like some data to support, hey, either guys are testing positive, they got to go home, or they figure out a routine to where, hey, this is working, the structure they're doing. I think the NFL actually released something on how they're going to incorporate it. But until the owners have that confirmation that everything's going to be okay, that's when guys are going to start getting signed again, because as a vested veteran, to explain what a vested veteran means, you need like 3 years and three games to be considered vested in the league, to where you get the pension, to where you get all the benefits. And so pretty much 4 years. Once you hit 4 years, you're vested. Now, me being a vested player, an owner is going to look at signing me. I might be on a list somewhere, high, low, middle, wherever. And say somebody wants to sign me, they're not going to sign me yet until they know about COVID. Because worst case scenario, they sign me, right? And if we agree on my paragraph 5 money, which is a base salary, which is like what, as a vested veteran, you're guaranteed once you're on the week one roster. Once kickoff happens and I'm on the opening roster, I'm guaranteed my paragraph 5 money being a vested athlete. If the data hasn't came out yet, but if worst case scenario, COVID came back to the surface and people had to quarantine and go back home, they had to shut down the league. In week 3, owners would still have to pay the paragraph 5 vested money to myself. So they're not going to do that until they know for sure that the season's going to happen and the whole year's going to happen. That's when the next wave of free agency is going to happen. Did I explain that correctly?
Yeah, that made sense.
That made sense?
For sure.
That's we'll end the podcast. AJ's here.
We're going to end the pod? I had some big stuff.
I know. We can hit it after. We can hit it after.
Okay, okay. We're going to pause. AJ Brown's coming on. Legend. Future legend.
Who you got, Bob? Who's that? Come on, bring him in.
And we'll be back. Big announcement, boys. We got a product alert over at Manscaped. Shout out the boys at Manscaped. Legitimately one of my favorite ads. I'm a huge believer. Anybody who's probably talked to me about Manscaped knows I'm all in on the boys. We got a product alert, though. They just released a weed whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. I'm not a big, I don't have a whole lot of ear hair. I do got a shitload of nose hair, though. I think I get that from my mom. I'm dead too, I think. I don't know. It's both their faults. I'm sure if you take a look in the mirror, we'll all have. We have hair everywhere in all holes, but mainly right now the focus is your nose and ear hair. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker 1. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those little delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. That in itself, don't even know what that means. It could mean shit, but that entire little fact right there just sold me because it sounds badass. The intelligent design enhances the trimming experience and is waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? I have. I do it quite a bit and it hurts. It hurts pretty damn bad. About like nicking your balls, but not that bad. No, I'm just getting dramatic. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replacement blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. So here we go, fellas. 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade, delegate, and elevate with the boys at Manscaped with their routine with the weed whacker. Get 20% off with free shipping with the code BUSSIN at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed and hairs in our holes looking nice. Again, 20% off free shipping with code BUSSIN at manscaped.com. B-U-S-S-I-N. Boys, it is what it is. Go get Manscaped. Go whack your weeds. Go trim your balls. Go do it all, man. Shout out Manscaped. We just took a break. I'm sure you guys just heard an ad, but in real life, we had to run the AJ Brown pod that you guys will listen to in the distant future. I was explaining the free agents thing. Did I explain that well?
Yeah.
People in the back. It's more like I'm trying to talk to that audience.
Yeah.
Explaining the free agent landscape. Cause I think it's interesting. You know what I mean? Everybody, you kind of wonder is like, you're somebody on the market, obviously, but everybody else who hasn't been signed, that you're like, oh, these guys should definitely be signed right now. And you're just wondering like what the holdup is with that next wave of free agency. But yeah.
Is it scary? Kind of like sitting and waiting, like because you were in the Redskins for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and then you're kind of sitting and waiting for a little bit for the Titans, but not near as long as you obviously waited for the Raiders and stuff like that. Was it like, there was a times last year when we talked and you're like, I don't know if I'm playing football again.
Yeah, for sure. There are teams call for like the tryouts and we would say no. You remember that?
Yeah.
But you're not getting offered a contract to legitimately be on the roster. They want you to come try out. And we would just say no and kind of just play the game of like somebody will probably get hurt. But then when I got injured and came back from New Orleans, once I was getting healthy, I really wasn't getting a whole lot of calls. But I guess to answer that, if I was still like obsessed and completely in love with football, I would probably be like uptight, nervous, and stressed. I don't think I am as much anymore because – I enjoy doing this, as you know,
right.
And I just have other, like, I don't know. I like me personally. I just know it's going to be over soon, whether it's this year, next year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's kind of what takes the stress off, is knowing I have some pivots and stuff going on and knowing that I've kind of faced the reality that I'm toward the end of my career.
Okay. So two things. One, we've talked about another one. First thing is like, do you worry about like coaches and GMs and stuff like that, like hearing this, like Bustin' with the Boys is becoming a bigger deal. It's more widely known around the league. What if a GM hears you say, I'm not that in love with football anymore. It's kind of pivoting right now, blah, blah, blah. Like that could turn off a GM easily.
Yeah, it could for sure. I mean, yeah, like I've told you before, like you almost hate not knowing what's going to happen because when I am doing something, I like to be all in on it. Right. So it was the same situation last year. We had talked before about potentially retiring last year.
Right.
And Char would ask me and we would kind of just hang on and like wait and see. Cause part of me almost didn't want to go try out at the Raiders. Cause I'm like talking myself into other things. But I was in the same headspace last year. But once I was put on the Raiders roster, it's kind of like, I'm committed to whatever I'm doing. It's just not that, from that obsessive standpoint that football is everything I need. Well, like I feel like a lot of guys do and they struggle with, as they get older, finding that transition because it eventually does end.
Yeah. Do you think like when you're sitting there kind of like has the opportunity to go into year eight, like you haven't been a Pro Bowl player by any means, but you've also been like a very steady, consistent, learns the playbook in 3 days type of guy that can go in and plug in and play right away. Is there a sense of ego that's like, man, what the fuck do I got to try out? Like I've kind of gone through these rough waters. Yeah. I've done it. I've been the practice squad guy. I've been the starter guy. I've been the special teams guy. Like you've hit every notch, yeah, essentially as you can as a football player. Like there'd be a hard point, and I know we've talked about this, like trying to get rid of ego and trying to like doing that mental stuff that I've been trying to do this whole year. Yeah. But like, there's got to be a point where you're like, why do I have to keep doing this to keep proving my worth? To
the I know. I would say that's my most like bitter thing is knowing like the way I ended last year.
Strong.
In my mind, it was like, this is same story, different year,
right,
type of thing. Like I proved it. Like I'm proving myself again.
Right.
And just knowing that,
that I'm never going to.
Yeah. There's just knowing like you're, whatever happens, like I know I'm in this certain box that it's just the way it is with my career. But yeah, I've learned to like cope with it better now, but it's always been a bitter thing is like anytime I've gotten the opportunity, I've always made the most of it. And so knowing I can, like last year, I always kind of talked like I can learn a playbook quickly. And if a team had me, I'd be ready that next week. Right. But when I actually went to the Saints and then actually went to the Raiders, there's that little feeling, like, all right, now it's time to put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
And then once I did that, it's kind of like I feel like I have that stance that, you know, if a team were to pursue me and it, say it was like a minimum deal, that I know that I can just do the same thing that I did last year. So why commit? Yeah, yeah, like say if the Raiders called tomorrow, it's like, Will, we want to offer you a contract minimum. What do you think? And it's kind of like, well, honestly, I could just wait all the way until season. If you guys still wanted me, then I could just play then, because why beat my body up and put myself through all that stuff if I know I can have the same opportunity as I did last year?
Right. And there's value that when you get to your age, there is value that people hold. Like you hold value on the field. Don't get me wrong about that. But like coaches, younger players sitting there being like, this is how you be a pro. This is how you grind through. Cause
right.
Know, it takes a grinder to know a grinder.
For
right?
sure.
Like
for
you got
sure.
like you're a fucking grinder. And so like, if you bring you into a locker room, you into a linebacker room with a bunch of young guys.
Right.
And say like, this is how you work. This is how you digest a playbook. This is how you watch film. I mean, that there's value in that.
Exactly.
There's definitely value.
That's why it's like, you know, if you guys are going to preach that to me, and say that would be the benefit of bringing me in, but we got to kind of stay strong on this offer. Then it's like, okay, well, you're not showing me that there's value
see
in
September.
That. Yeah, exactly. Right. See you in September. No, I agree with that. Because I do think there is, like, you've been in locker rooms where there's good leadership and bad leadership.
Mm-hmm.
This past year, a lot of good leadership because you guys turned it around. But right. It's like, if you have bad leadership and shit's hitting the fan, you kind of know what the story's going to be, how it's going to be written. Like, guys are already starting to prepare for the off season and, like, kind of wanting to lose. And I mean, I've been in those locker rooms, and you've also been in
November,
locker rooms,
like late November, like making plans.
Right, right.
Like, hey, where are you going? I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to do
yeah,
this,
da, da, da. Yeah. And then you're around like leadership and locker rooms that, even though you might go there in that mental space, you'll get snapped out of it because guys aren't, you know, the leadership doesn't allow you to really do it.
Right.
So you're like, they're right. We do got to fucking.
There is something about like when you're a younger guy thinking, oh, we always got next year.
Yeah.
Like even in college, you only had 4 or 5 years, but you're like, ah, oh, there's always next year. We can always win next year. Like when you get to the end, you're like, well, you know, this year didn't go how I wanted, but we can always do it again next year.
Yeah.
Like it takes until you're older and like, you're like, oh, fuck, like this, I only have so many years left.
Right. And it's like, you've gotten the taste. You've gotten that far away from the Super Bowl. Me, I've played 7 years. So I've only been in the playoffs one time.
Right.
So when guys are like, oh, I got next year, it's like, no, there's no fucking
there
next
really
year.
There really isn't.
You just got to tell yourself, there's no fucking next
no
year,
question.
Dude.
No question. That's why that's like leadership so important, is to show guys like you don't need to go and fuck around. You're not winning. Like take this time to learn.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about. You said it. We took a break. We did the AJ podcast. In the AJ podcast, I mentioned something about like, he's like, he knows what it's like to lose, but that teaches you work ethic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It really
right.
does. Like if you know, you're going to know more about yourself as a person when you lose than you do when you win. Cause it's fucking easy to win. It's easy to sit on top. It's easy to be like, oh, I'm the best tackle in the league. But what is it like when they want to replace you with Laramie Tunsil? What's it like when nobody wants you?
Yeah.
Or you're fucking lots of penalties, or you have to prove yourself year in,
I mean,
year out.
Dude, you like your own personal journey. It's like what happens when you have the suspension like you had,
right,
or when you're going through those holding penalties, or when you get called out by people in the media saying you're not a leader,
right,
and how you handle it. And, yeah, you know, you're calling Eddie and like, you know, You're right. Like that's when I feel like you learn about who you are as a person, is when you are in times of trials and adversity. Cause I remember when I first called, cause I was in Oakland at that time, and I just see the rumblings being said about you and the leadership stuff. And I get on the phone with you and you just had the most, you know, rational, logical, like, you're just kind of impressed, like on the conversation with you, like, yeah, you're doing all the right fucking things about it.
It's one of those things, like, and it's so, like, when you're in the middle of adversity, and this goes for anybody, this goes for, like, not getting the job you wanted, not getting a job at all, like, working your way up and running into a speed bump. It doesn't just happen. Like, it's not like football players just don't deal with that on a day-to-day basis, right? But it's like, you get a good sense of who you are when, like, things aren't going well. Yeah. And so as a person, like, to be successful, for me to have had the amount of success I've had in the NFL, and there's so much more success that I could have, but just the success that I've had, you have to lose. You have to, like, go through something that's got to change your mind.
Yeah.
You know, at one point it was just having a woman like Taylan for me was like seeing that person and knowing that, like, I don't deserve that person. I need to make myself a better person to be with that person.
Right, right, right.
That is a change of adversity, a change of tone that made me work off the field, which actually helped me on the field. The minute I met Taylan, I made 3 Pro Bowls in a row. Would have made 4, but I got suspended.
You know what I'm saying? Would have made 4. You almost, like, learn about how you learn to be a better person. Right. So you're like, then you might go into the next situation. You might take your experience with Taylan and then be like, oh, I can use the same methodology and use it the same approach to this way. And then you're getting better that way.
Well, it's tough too, because, like, if you were to ask me, like, how I handled it, what you were talking about, like, when you call me and you're, how you dealing with this, and you're saying I'm being rational.
You call the boy, we're like, you know,
yeah, but like,
I'm friends, my words, not yours, so y'all go ahead and save it there. But we're like best friends, and you're kind of like, in my approach, you're wanting to, like, check on the boy, you're not wanting to say anything, you're just, you don't know what's gonna happen when you call, and like, hey, what the fuck's been going on, like, I'm sure you've just been, you know, maybe in your own head, and just your answers, like, what was your mindset when having those kind of conversations or in talking to me?
Yeah, well, like, When you're going through anything, and everybody on this bus can, like, when anything bad happens, like, you shit feels like it's the world's falling apart.
Yeah.
Like, you think, like, fucking, this is the end.
And everybody's watching you.
Get your heart broken. Yeah. And you think everyone's watching you. But, yeah, think about, like, you know, you go outside of Nashville, Tennessee, ain't nobody gives a shit what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? And nobody cares about, like, you know, a week 9, week 10 game for the Titans. But, like, when you put yourself in that bubble, it's, like, it's fucking hard to, like, sit in the bubble that we sit in all the time and think, like, oh, 60,000 people are at the game. Oh, millions of people are watching at home. Like, what are they going to say or think and do about me? It's, like, it's so much harder to do than it is to say. But, like, if you can just control what you can control and move forward. Mm-hmm. And, like, okay, I can only control, like, my next game. And I would call Taylan, like, Sunday. And, like, because I never in my mind think I'm going to play bad. I always think I'm going to play good.
Yeah.
But I would call her and be like, I'm not getting a penalty this entire game. And she'd be like, okay. And then I wouldn't get a penalty. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's making a conscious effort, but it's so easy. And, like, all I know is, like, being an American, but, like, it seems like Americans, like, we just want to complain and bitch and moan about something. Like, you want, like, you always have this, we have this victimized mentality where if something doesn't go right, poor me, why is this happening to me? And it's like, the minute you just start doing something, like, even if you don't know what to do, like, you just start doing something, it's going, like, you're going to find new pieces. You're going to find new pieces of puzzle. You just start flipping over those puzzle pieces, and eventually you're going to find that piece that's going to fit in the way that you need to go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
And then each time it gets easier. And so, like, but it's like,
it's like you have to intentionally choose that, right? I'm not going to fucking victimize myself in this
but
situation.
But it's every day. It's
not, right. It's all, like, the time.
And it sucks too, because I remember, like,
it's waking up to an alarm in the morning.
Yeah.
And choosing, like, put your 2 fucking feet on the ground,
right,
and go to this workout.
Go brush your teeth. Go fucking go work out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, don't have a bad fucking attitude, because no one gives a shit.
Right.
No one cares.
No one cares,
no
dude.
No one gives a shit about your dreams more than you. Not one person.
Yeah.
So don't expect people to be like, when you're in the fucking dumps, be like, oh, hey, man, don't worry about it. Let me get you help up. Here's what you need to do. Because everyone's got fucking advice on the outside looking in.
Right.
But, like, ain't nobody truly gives a fuck.
Right.
Like, if you want to be successful, get up early.
Yeah.
Like, get up early. Get a good amount of sleep. And eat healthy. Because it's not like, you don't just eat healthy because, like, oh, I want to look really good. Like, you just function better. Your brain functions better.
For sure.
You handle stress better. Like, it's just how life works. Like, the way you treat yourself is the way the output you're going to give. And that's why, like I'm more drawn to people that are fit, because I know, like, well, if they're willing to take care of themselves, well, I can, there's a certain sort of, like, standard to have. Well, if you don't give a shit about, how am I supposed to trust you with whatever? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's fucking hard, dude. Life is hard, but it's, you got to make the choice every single day. And it's easy when you're sitting on a bus talking about it, but, like, you know, it's when you've done it for 3 weeks and, like, then you're like, well, fuck, I've been so good.
I know.
That pizza.
Yeah.
You know, because day one,
Taylor Lewan is going to feel different than day 60, Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
And it's whatever, you refer to it as the path, but, like, the standard you make on day one, that's why you got to write shit down too and see it all the time, because you're not going to be as motivated.
That's what this fucking, this whoop thing, dude. Like, literally every day I wake up, And it'll tell me how I slept, the percentage of recovery I had, but then it'll pop out of like journal. I'm like, well, I can't get around it until like I journal it.
Right.
So I'll type in like slept well, baby got up at 5, had to get up with the baby, X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. But it kind of your head like triggers you like, I got to go do the rest of my shit.
You're kind
of
holding yourself accountable.
Yeah, you. Well, the Whoop does.
Yeah.
Shout out Whoop.
No free shout outs
to Whoop. You got to DM us. Sponsor us.
Yeah.
But for real though, Whoop fucking gets that shit locked in for you, dude. It's kind of cool. But it definitely helps. It's definitely, I don't know how we got into this motivational path.
Yeah, me neither. Podcast. We're rolling on it right now. I don't know. I like the vibe though. It's a solid vibe, dude.
There's a like a point where you like joking around is fun and all that's awesome, but like you have to water all the plants of your personality. You know what I'm saying? That's
why it's great having multiple people see us and we obviously have a blast. I think people see how hard we work too, but
I don't think people do see how hard. That's the thing.
They don't, but it's like they kind of understand that there's a lot that goes into it, but it's like when we get off the bus and everything else that's around our lives, like there's a lot of work being done. There's put a lot in, of
work
dude. Being
done. And you do a lot of work on this podcast. You do a lot more work than I do. But when we fucking, when we work out, remember about like 2 years ago, I'd be like, yo, people who work out and take pictures of themselves working out, go fuck yourself. Like,
Yeah. You know, you've had like, that stance within the last year too.
I've had that stance within the last year as well. I'm kind of wavering, but this is a good, perfect example of stay in your fucking lane. And I didn't do that, dude.
You're right.
I did not stay in my lane. I fucking teetered. And I was like, if you post pictures working out, you're a piece of shit. And now I'm like, how do I get to the other side?
Yeah.
There is a thought, like I posted myself riding my rogue bike. I know Alex is a big bike guy. This was a stationary. But I get in this rogue bike and I posted it. And I was like, okay, first off, you're a hypocrite. But second off, I was like, I have to get on this fucking bike now. Because like someone's going to see this and expect me to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There is a sense of a social media can be a sense of accountability.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? After I make this bus or not make this bus, make this gym, I might just have a whole production crew in there 24/7 during workouts.
And you just know I'm going to have to do this.
I have to grind.
And I think too, like when you get to the point of like wanting to post, I think you're so deep and convinced in your methods, your path or anything that when you do it and you feel good that you're accomplishing it, you're kind of just wanting to not show people to give you praise, but show people and kind of like inspire too. Well, you know what I mean?
That's why people should like, there should be an age limit, like 21 to drink. Like you need to be like at least 24 to like have a social media account. Cause the shit's a little ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
It like, can get ridiculous.
Like the things I said 5 years ago, I would, if I said at 23 something to me right now, I'd be like, that I used to say then, I'd be you're a fucking idiot, bro.
I know.
What are you saying? And I bet in 5 years, we're going to watch some of these podcasts and go, what the fuck are we talking about?
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like every few years, you learn more and you grow more. And it's like, and then you're dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just fucking live and then you get smart and you're like, yeah, I'm kind of starting to figure this out. Heart attack.
Yeah, dead.
You're fucking done, dude. That's it, dude.
No doubt.
That's it. But work ethic's really important, dude. If you don't have work ethic, you're going to be a slave to the whole world, to the environment, to working a 9-to-5 job, to being an accountant or working in a cubicle.
Slave to your mind.
No question. And you're going to have a poor me fucking mentality and you're going to get mad at people. You're going to be
resentful.
You're going to be on Twitter talking shit about this guy's successful and he's a piece of shit because of X, Y, and Z when really you're just mad at yourself for not doing what you were supposed to do in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So many people, and you guys know this, how many people have you met that said, oh yeah, I could have been a professional athlete, but, or I would have been this, but the coach didn't like me or, you know, but I, you know, had a torn my meniscus my rookie year and like, what do you mean, a torn meniscus? What the fuck? Like, okay, it's a 4-weeker, right?
What's
a meniscus tear? You've torn your meniscus, haven't you?
No, I haven't, but it's up to 8 weeks.
It's up to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Six to eight. Like.
Six to 8 weeks for meniscus.
If you can turn a penis into a vagina now or vice versa, you're going to be okay if you tear something.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Except for staff. No, that shit's a little bit of a deal. Hey, that staff's a bit of a staff. Deal, dude.
That shit'll stick with
Speaking
you.
Speaking of staff, dude, I got a staff through my heart.
And we got a huge announcement. Before we move on, it's an announcement we've all been waiting for. The NASCAR Cup Series is headed to Talladega. One of the most popular races out there. We've all heard how much Dave Portnoy, El Presidente, loves Dega. And this is definitely one you won't want to miss. Drivers take on NASCAR's biggest track, where some of the fastest speeds happen, biggest wrecks, just pure chaos that I'm sure we're going to endure. You won't want to miss this. Tune in and support the Barstool Car. Shout out Clint, all the free shout outs to the boy, and witness the big one for yourself. Catch the live action on Sunday, June 21st at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox, and download the NASCAR Finish Line app, a free-to-play NASCAR predictor game that gives fans the chance to win 25G every single race. Back to the episode.
What?
I've taken a 180 on waffles. I fucking love that dog.
You, hey, to your left, there's a smear on the window that says fuck waffle, because that was the first day I got her.
Yep, and I'm putting fucking waffle, exclamation point now.
There we go.
I am waffle, dude. There we are. That's another being on the path and fucking going way too on one side. Stay in your fucking lane, the one.
Yeah, you told people, what did he say?
I said,
unfollow waffle.
I would unfollow waffle and I would follow
I will
them.
Follow you if you go and block waffle
and
or
you
something.
Show me. But then I actually said that in the podcast, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow you just because.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking love that dog, dude.
How's Waffle now?
I love that dog, dude.
Dude, she's the
I'm buying
sweetest,
her
dude.
Helmet so she stays safe. There is something clinically wrong with that dog.
I don't know, man.
That's and just, I mean that,
that's
but
just
I love
Waffle,
that.
Dude. She's just so, she's so cute, dude.
I don't think
and she's so sweet.
I don't think Waffle loves anybody more than me. I really don't.
she loves
I don't
parents,
know why
dude.
Either. That's well, an old expression, boys. Treat him like dirt, stick to you like mud. That's what happened to Waffle.
Well, you come around, you know, every now and then, so you're like a new face.
I'm not a new face. I've been around your house like four times.
But
like
I'm saying
minutes.
You're like somebody else coming into the house besides Mira Charo.
Yeah.
So like, oh, this person's going to play with me.
Right.
Because we'll sit there and play all the time. Yeah. You see when the guest count goes like above one person, yeah. Like she kind of sits a little more reserved.
It's back.
But when it's just back. You, she's all in.
Yeah.
Wait, but that wasn't the argument, though. You said she wasn't cute. You
no, she's not.
Like her. You still don't think she's cute, though.
Hey, I think her personality is cute.
Nice.
Like, it's like she needs a helmet cute.
Listen, I'm going to take whatever dog. We have. I'm going right. to take what we got. Right. We made it this far.
The dog from a, like, okay, golden
no,
retriever
I
puppy.
Have, I shouldn't have brought this up.
Golden retriever. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
What do you
back
think?
Back to this
what
side of the lane. I'm fucking way over here now again.
Listen, though, when that happened, all of you guys were low-key shitting on Waffle.
Yeah.
No one really wanted to speak up either.
You're right.
And I want to know what you have to say for yourselves now. Because a part of me was bitter because, like, oh, you guys, he's so strong in his argument that yeah. nobody's going to question it.
Very powerful voice.
Yeah.
Did I hate a Waffle?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, we all voted she's not cute.
We all know. Silence. I'm listening to it.
Well, she didn't like me when I came over to your house the other day. She ran away, but then she got acclimated to me, and she loved to live in
See, that never
out of
happened
me.
With me and Waffle. That never once happened. Actually, Waffle loved
Yeah,
me
she actually got scared of Zach.
Yeah.
Well, like, Waffle, I don't like, know look why. At him. I picked him up and stuff.
Did you actually pick Zach up?
No.
Do you,
like, look, it's
do,
just a little boy.
Do you think, from like a classic Disney movie cute, do you think Waffle is a cute dog?
A classic Disney movie?
Like a
cute.
Disney movie, like a Bunny Rabbit or a Bambi the Deer or Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and the tweeting of the birds flying around, like cute.
Like if you cartoonized Waffle, you mean?
Well, no, I think that'd be cute.
That's what I'm saying. Really you mean, hey, you mean, hey, hey, you mean animate?
Animate.
If Waffle...
Cartoonized. Okay, we're Waffle, taking a lot of slip-ups today, boys.
Waffle itself, and I hope to God on the YouTube video right now, it's showing a picture of Waffle.
We'll get some photos.
But I'll post the
burger one where she's sitting there and she looks like the Jabba the Hutt.
Dude, that dog is
she's
comedy.
Ugly.
She's literally a comedy sketch. She's a bit in her own. Her life is a bit. Her life yeah. is a comedy. It's unbelievable.
I can agree with that, but I think she's adorable. But it's probably because she's like ugly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
she's an English bulldog.
You could say.
Like, look at little Waffle. Like, you just kind of grab her skin and you
yeah.
just, it's soft. Her fur is soft.
Her fat rolls.
Yeah, you scratch under her cheeks.
That's what you got to do. You got to grab her by the, by her little tufts of her neck.
Yeah.
And just double thumb stroke her neck and stare her in the eyes and say,
yeah, and
okay.
she stares back at you.
She stares right back at you and then you kiss her right between her eyes and she goes,
yeah,
she looks back. And it's all Matt. Like she's like.
And to me, that's adorable.
That's adorable.
To me, it's adorable.
That is. But we're talking about cute right now.
And like legitimately,
like
objectively
cute. Golden retriever cute.
No, no. Chihuahua is not cute. I know that hurts, but a Chihuahua is not cute, dude.
I'm gonna pull up a picture right now.
I mean, we got an internet. We got a monitor right here.
I have to agree with Will on this one. Not a Chihuahua fan.
Bulldog or Chihuahua in cuteness? Jack, you're first.
Chihuahua.
Garrett.
Bulldog.
Bulldog.
Hey, we got 5-2.
I always knew Jack was my favorite. Where's the
ankle bite?
Tell me that's is that cute?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's cute. But we're talking an adult chihuahua, dude.
Oh, yo, do the one with the soap on top of his head. Dude, second row from left. You cannot tell me that's not the cutest.
I mean, that's a cute little puppy.
Okay, right there. That's cuter than go to Waffle in the House's Instagram. I still have her blocked. Go to Waffle in the House's Instagram.
Waffle in
that
the
dog. Waffle in the House underscore. Bulldogs are not cute traditionally. They're not cute. Neither are pit bulls.
Like, yeah. Pit bulls are cute, dude.
Yeah, way cuter. They're way cuter than bulldogs.
Oh, Waffle's so cute, man.
Oh, my God. Okay. I wish you could just pull up the profile picture. Wish you could just pull up that profile
picture. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But like some of it is humor. Like look
at that. Oh my God.
Yo, that is so funny, dude.
That's hilarious. No one's arguing that. And look at we don't even follow her. We don't even follow her, bro. Buster the Voice doesn't even follow Waffle Mouse.
That's crazy.
Well, don't do it. Blocked, don't give in.
So I mean, talk about progress. We're coming far.
She's only following two people. Like what kind of...
Yeah, her parents.
She can't follow Uncle Taylor?
It's not up to me. It's up to her. She has her own phone.
See, that's not funny.
It's funny. It was funny to me when I said it.
It's not funny, though. I mean.
You know, it's like when you say her name and she looks over at you. She's like.
She's like, say my name. Say Waffles.
Waffle. Yeah, she's the best,
These are the cutest pictures of her. Still not.
Look at her in that bottom right. Dude, she's adorable right there. Look at her coat. Look at her eyes.
Okay, for the record, though, and I hope you're keeping track of what pictures these are.
Yeah.
I've seen this dog face-to-face. This is like the girl who's a little thick, but she's really good at editing her photos. She's a little thick, but she's fucking unbelievable. Like, that filter, you think her eyes are that blue in real life? They're not. All right?
She gets some blueness in her eyes. That's why it stands out blue.
I'm just saying, bro. She does not look this. Look at that. Are you kidding me? Second row to the right. Second row to the right. That is an adorable dog. This is not the same dog. That's not the same dog.
Are you saying with their look?
I'm saying with their look. I'm saying like Waffle.
Is catfishing?
Maybe. If another bulldog got on this thing and was like woof woof or whatever the dog's talking like, hit on each other for. If this dog came on to this dog and she was like, let's meet up. He was like, let's meet up. And Waffle was like, woof. Like they went and met up. He'd be like, fuck. This dog lied to me.
If it was a bulldog, no.
The bulldog would sit there and have dinner and be courteous, but that would be there would be no dessert.
Look at that look on the right when she's about to get that puppuccino, dude.
That's also not that funny. Puppuccino? Is that a
you
real laughed. Thing?
Yeah, you go to Starbucks and you say, can I get a puppuccino? And they give you one for free. For your dog.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So when it was her 6-month birthday, we got her a puppuccino.
Okay, that's another thing we need to talk about. Your birthday is annually.
For sure. I agree with that. There's nothing I'm taking away from that. It's just like, you know, you just get excited to celebrate something.
And I'm willing to go on the far side of the fence for this one. I'm willing to go outside of my lane for this one.
I hope you weren't a kid that ever said like 8.5 and stuff like that, because I bet you did at some point in time.
I bet it too. But like I said earlier, I said some dumb shit when I was 23. I can't imagine when I said when I was 8. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to apologize for celebrating getting my puppy a puppuccino at 6 months old.
No, she's 6 months old. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's not a birthday. 6 month birthday.
Yeah, sure.
Her birthday. The day she was birthed.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
It was her semi-birthday.
Still not with you on that. I'm still not. It's okay. Why?
You're right. I will submit to like it's not her birthday. And you're like, if I got a problem with people, it's like, I understand that for sure.
Sure.
But I enjoyed getting her a puppuccino and being like, oh, it's 6 months today.
So that picture I had of that chihuahua, cute as fuck, right?
Yo, chihuahuas suck, dude.
Chihuahuas' personalities are fucking bullshit. They suck.
Okay.
All right? They're like number two in dog attacks, by the way.
Yeah, they got little man syndrome. They got little man syndrome,
if
dude.
If you can like find those unicorn dogs, those dogs that are like, they don't, that's not.
Right, like it's a very chill chihuahua.
If I can get a chill boy chihuahua, name him Chamaco, and have him sit on my lap in my truck driving around.
Is it Chamaco or Chamaco?
Chamaco.
Okay.
Chamaco.
Hey, yo, Chamaco. He's like, that kind of just comes up to you. Yeah. I would fucking die.
And just hold him like I'd this all the time, like in your hand?
Yeah, no, I'd let him. But no, he'd be such a chill boy, he'd just walk with me. Unless it was too hot or cold for his feet, then I'd pick him up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Chihuahuas like being held and stuff, dude.
I like holding dogs. I do. That's one knock I have on my dog right now is that she's not a big cuddler. But I love a cure to death.
And last ad read of the day. Solid week for the boys. Shout out to boys at Hydrant.
summer's definitely kicking into full swing, so it's getting crazy hot right now, especially if you're in Nashville. It's getting real wet out there, getting real humid. It only takes minutes outside for me to feel exhausted and ready for a nap. We all know the sun takes that out of you. Between the sun beating me down and the heat and humidity, dehydration kicks in more quickly than ever before. The boys at Hydrant is your key to getting back up and running more quickly than ever. Top performers in business and sports often attribute their success to their morning routine. Whether that's waking up early, setting goals for the day, exercise, meditation, whatever you do. But not everyone has the time to do it all. With Hydrant, you can jumpstart your mornings. You want to kick the coffee habit? Are you worried about your energy levels? Dehydration can actually be one of the main reasons why you feel that morning sluggishness and midday slump. Hydrant has created a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into your water and efficiently and effectively hydrate your body. It hydrates you quickly and keeps you hydrated for longer, so it holds in all the good stuff. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes your body needs: sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it packs a punch to help your body hydrate fast and stay hydrated. If you're looking for that extra boost of energy, there's also Hydrant Plus Caffeine, which contains 100 milligrams of caffeine from green tea. Hydrant is backed by research. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist, smart as shit. It's made with a real fruit juice powder, delicious, refreshing, and comes in a variety of flavors. If you want some real summer vibes, try the new brand, the new iced tea lemonade flavor. Hydrant starts at just a buck a packet for a 30-day supply. Bonus, you save even more with a monthly subscription. That's a huge W, especially in 2020 right now. And for 25% off your first order, go to drinkhydrant.com/bussin or enter the promo code bussin at checkout. That's drinkhydrant.com/bussin and enter promo code bussin for 25% off your first order. drinkhydrant.com/bussin and enter the promo code bussin. Back to the episode. I hope you enjoy the rest.
YouTube comments. What's YouTube comments?
Yeah, why don't we do...
We can do YouTube comments or we can do pod reviews. I have both.
I'm not reading.
Oh, we got to get you to read some pod reviews, dude.
I'll tell you what, my eyes. They're bad.
We need to get the pod reviews. We need to get more pod reviews.
We should.
It's like there's just been weird steps in the quarantine. How have you felt about podcasting all year long?
I've been
our year of 2020 so far, podcasting.
I would say like it started off pretty strong. I enjoyed the first few. And then going to California and having quarantine happen, then having to go to Zoom, I wasn't a big fan of. It was fun and it was new, but then I didn't like it as much.
Yeah.
And being back on here makes me feel a lot better. But there's still a lot of question marks. Overall, 4.5.
I agree.
I agree
with that, yes. I kind of felt the same vibe.
Did you really?
Didn't go to Cali, but you were kind of doing the Zoom pods. And the whole, like, we like right now we can talk at the same time. And we just kind of know the energy and the vibe, like, who, like, just talking.
Right.
Zoom, you sit there and you'll say something, you'll stop. You're like, oh, you go, oh, my bad. You asked that question.
Yeah. Nice. There it is right there. Will's question for Taylor. What is that, dude?
All right, guys. This is it. It's a very formal moment.
Are you proposing?
No. Sort of.
Wow.
I want you to be in my wedding.
Oh, my God.
And I am. I am asking you on this pod if you would accept the invitation to be a groomsman in my wedding.
When you say groomsman, though.
Hey, we've had the talks, dude.
What number? It better not make me laugh.
The number, what is it?
See, I cross my legs like, you want to get formal, dude?
I know.
My legs
you
guys
say, you say what number, and then you put the leg up, like, what are we talking
about? What are we doing here?
I still got to put the full roster together.
Okay, yeah.
I don't necessarily know yet.
So you've used the word best friend. Let's talk about that. You've used that word.
I do. And I also want to make it clear, I use that word for several people.
Several, more than three. That's what several means if we've been defining words today.
Yes, 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 yes. I have for more than three.
So more than three.
I will refer to people, he's one of my best friends.
You've used the word best friend. You've used the word best friend. Kind of like birthday, right? One. And there's best friend.
There's no, but that's not near as clear coat. You can have best friends. Okay, he's one of my better friends.
Oh, that one hurt.
That, yeah, exactly. That doesn't sound that good.
No.
That one actually.
That's why you say one of your best friends.
That made me want to say no. You know what I'm saying? Like, the obvious answer is yes. I'm very honored. Thank you so much.
Big Sky Montana.
Big Sky Montana.
Thank you. He said yes.
Thank you. I said yes. Yes. I said yes. I did. It's fucking big deal. I mean, we knew this was coming, right?
For sure. When you were over at the house the other day, Charles and Taylor were like, why don't you ask him right now when I asked if the bean... Because we're also going to have the bean. Bean's going to be a flower girl.
Yeah.
Bean. Big shout out to Bean.
Shout out to Bean. Shout out my sweet
and,
little bean.
You had went to the bathroom. You went to knock it out of the park upstairs. And yeah. I respect that you went into the third tier bathroom to
I had
that.
To.
I respect you know? That. When you were up there, Taylor and Charles were like, why don't you ask him? Like, why don't you ask him here?
And you're like, I want to wait for a pod.
Yeah, well, I did. I just thought in my head, like, yeah, I mean, I just figured it's kind of an unsaid thing that he's going to be in it. Yeah. I didn't know I need to make it formal, kind of like how girls do. Like, hey, will you be, what is it?
Well, Charles literally said, we're doing Big Sky Montana. Big Sky?
Yeah.
Big Sky Montana, and we're playing, staying in a place with only 75 people, blah, 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 blah.
You're going to be in the lodge.
Only the lodge will hold the wedding party. And I was like, cool, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's why when they said that, I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, he should know, but okay, I mean, I'll ask him.
Do you know?
Like, get down on one knee. Like, when he comes down, you should get down on one knee and, like, do it like that.
That's probably Taylor's idea.
Yeah, it was.
I know that woman.
And I was like, nah, I'll ask him here soon. Because I'm like, okay, maybe I should ask him, like, instead of him just assuming and me assuming, I should ask the boy. And so I was like, I put that in the note. I was like, yo, make sure we get a question opportunity in there for Will to ask the boy if he'll be in the wedding.
It's beautiful.
I'm honored. Absolutely beautiful.
I'm fired up.
What do you want for a wedding present? If you had to, like, because you know, guys, don't guys give guys wedding presents?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna need a house. I know you're building one. I would love for you to gift that to me.
Okay.
No all thanks. Right, that's all I need.
Okay.
I love it. I can't wait to move into that spot, dude.
You just had to go see it.
Yeah.
This will do.
I saw it.
This piece of shit will do right here, huh?
I'm talking about the one you're building.
I know.
Yeah, ain't no piece of shit. Don't try to lower the...
If you moved into the house right now, it'd be a piece of shit.
Yeah, compared to the way you guys were saying it was built, yes. Initially, I thought a very solid house.
Oh, you're a big fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a nice house, dude.
No, it's going to be a nice house. It's all
right. Which one are we talking about right now?
What do you mean? There's only one.
I thought you said the house right now to move into.
No, the house we're in right now is a piece.
That's what I'm saying. That's not necessarily a piece. The way it was built, probably, but it's not like... Initially moving in, you're like, yo, this is a nice spot.
Yeah, then you learn a couple things about it. You're like, man, this
Yeah. Like, it sucks that you can't sit on your deck on one of the bottom floors,
yeah.
And water comes dripping down on you. Like, come on, man, the furniture's soaking wet out of here,
right? Like, it's outdoor furniture, but still.
But the one you're building, come on now.
I'm a big fan.
Like I said before, it's like if you had your own Sims and like all you build that upper echelon, you get to that dream job in Sims and you're just raking in the dough and you build that thing out and you build it ideally because they're getting to build it. It's like, oh, I'm impressed, dude. I'm fired up for it.
It'd be cool to find a place for the bus
on that property. For sure.
That'd be a sweet little gig where the gym's going
to be. We'd have to be careful, though.
Why?
Because if we're going to have the bus there, right?
Right.
You're going to need to let these guys have access
at any point. Sure.
You know what I mean? Okay, go to the bus and do it.
So the gym is going to be in a different part of the property than the house.
To where there would be like different codes for both?
There's a different road. You wouldn't even go near the house.
Right. I know. Yeah. I know. But I'm saying.
You would go in the back there. Because I'm trying to get this gym. And then when we have guests on, go through a hard-ass workout. And then we go in the bus.
Right. You can pitch them like, hey, let's do a workout. Oh, bus out here. Let's go inside. Hey, take a seat.
Take a seat. Are you tired? Talk about it.
Here, put these headphones on.
Yeah. How those fit.
Yeah.
Get an Airstream so they can stay the night.
Yeah.
Have a sleepover.
We do need a spot that has like landline electricity.
We'll get
and
that.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we don't have that. We're gonna
I mean, I'm not paying for the Wi-Fi.
Well, it's going to come at your spot. Oh, yeah. It'll be something. It'll be an expense out of the bus. It's a write-off.
The Nero for that.
Yeah. That's it's no problem.
But let's not lose. I'm very honored. Thank you.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back to the main
thing. You do want to talk about.
Because that was the gift. I don't know what gift.
Yeah.
And you're a big gift guy. So I don't know. Don't overdo it, dude. I know. I see the look in your eye. But don't. I'm just, hey, for the record right now, do not overdo the gift.
That's like one of those, hey, don't.
And I'm going to be sitting there, I'm going to look at the camera. And Charles is going to be like, oh, hey, write the thank you card to Taylor and Taylor. And I'll be like,
this is what the fuck they got us?
This is fucking it, dude.
Face on you right away. Hey, what the fuck what is this,
piece
dude?
Of shit little deal here.
You told me not to go all out. Yeah, I was fucking joking, dude.
Yeah, we did it for the pod.
Yeah.
Dude, so if you, well, how many groomsmen are you going to have?
I don't know. It's tough, dude.
Are you having
it's
hard, fucking are you tough. Hard narrowing the numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a hard time with that, too.
I am.
Just a lot of good friends.
Yeah.
What are the chances of Zach's in it?
Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
It's fair.
That's, sorry, Zach.
No, it's fine.
When I know,
I said it's fine for him. No, it's
yeah,
fine.
When I know for sure somebody's not going to be in, I'm just going to have to just
yeah lay down that law.
Yeah,
because you don't want to give him hope. He's going to go home and he's going to tell his father and his mother, "Hey, I had the best possible news today.
Right,
I got a 1% chance of being at Will's wedding.
Right,
they're going to throw a party.
Yeah,
and then he's not going to do it. He's be like, what's all that 1 in a million talk? You know what I'm saying?
Right, no doubt. They're fighting for just invites.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people. Mm. I mean, you got 5 dudes in here.
Yeah, they're all right now. No, there's some no's in here.
Are there some no's in here?
Yeah, I mean, they, you know.
What if they came and filmed? What if they added value to your wedding?
Well, then there's a conversation there.
I got you boys in there. You see that right
that
there?
That was a smooth little.
Hey, I'm rolling deep with these boys. All right.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what.
I'm fired up for Big Sky, Montana.
It's going to be amazing.
Sure, I wanted an outdoor wedding.
When is it? It's going to be in June?
It's going to be in June.
That's
late June 2021.
Time. Don't do the 21st. That's Salem's birthday.
Yeah, it's not. I believe it's the 26th.
Yeah, you know what? You did say that.
Yeah.
I'm fired up.
Dude, it's going to be fun, man. Because I want people to like make a few days out of it.
I'm making a whole week out of it.
I love it. Fires me up.
I'm going to get out there, call you 2 weeks before your wedding. I'm out here. Just figure
you're
it out.
You're probably going to try to get me to go out there 2 weeks before.
Probably.
Like, hey, let's go.
And you won't.
Yeah, I know.
What are the chances you're retired next year? Oh, then they're good.
Yeah.
What if you ball this year and you get offered like a $2 million 1 year deal?
There's a price for everything.
Hey, that boy got a price for everything.
Yeah, there's a price for everything.
I'm probably not friends with like half of my groomsmen.
I know, it's always, man.
Not it, really.
It's
I'm
always
so
tough.
All of them. I'm so
because
all
I wasn't in Taylor's wedding. Now, we were brand new at the time, so I completely understand.
Game. If I got married right now, you would definitely be my wedding.
Would you be your best man?
No, you wouldn't be my best man. For any of the same reasons.
Who would be?
My best man would still be Nick.
It's oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nick Bennett.
Yeah, Nick Bennett. Shout out Nick Bennett, dude. But, yeah, I think I have like 8 or 9 groomsmen.
It's like your Nick Hallett.
Yeah, Nick is my Nick.
Yeah.
Your Nick is also a Nick, and I have a Nick, too.
Yeah. Shout out the Knicks, dude.
Shout out the Knicks, dude. If your name's Nick.
Quality friends in the Nick lineage.
No question, dude. Gotta love that. Engagement stories. What engagement stories?
We were just talking about the way we got engaged. I assume.
Yeah, is that it?
That was your note.
Yeah, yeah. I put the note to run with it.
All right.
Because I figured it would go that way. But yeah, now that we're saying it out loud.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That's hard to do that with the dogs thing.
Remember when you had me, this motherfucker, dude. He's the only other person I've read my engagement letter to.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're not going to go back on the best friend thing, but yeah.
But you forced me. Hey, you forced it.
You know why?
You made me.
You know why? Because good friends give another friend a push. That's why. Sometimes you need the push. Do you know what I'm saying?
Read it to me. Read it to me right
I'm
now.
I'm not so
Charles,
sure.
Charles, like, out of the room. He's like, read it to me.
I'm not so sure you wouldn't be engaged right now if it wasn't for me right now. I think you'd still be pussyfooting around. No joke. I'm not even kidding.
No, there's no.
I hope Charles heard that.
No, we would be engaged right now. Hey, sweetheart, we'd be engaged right now.
You gave her a note well, you can tell your own story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Proposing, like being in public.
Yeah.
And doing something like that far into the sweetness spectrum.
No question.
Makes me uncomfortable. Like I, for whatever reason, maybe it's my masculinity, maybe it's my joking side too much, but I just get like, I get a little.
Sounds like ego.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, anybody out there, whatever you're thinking, chalking it up as, that's true.
Right.
But I wanted to do it when she came out to in Oakland because you knew I had dabbled with the idea of like
place.
Doing it at her Bar 3 studio. Like I was trying to figure out the best situation.
That would have been a good one.
I know.
That would have been such a good
Taylor
one.
Tried making me do it the day he was telling me about it. And I was just so like, you know, you just get uncomfortable.
You get the best emotions out of people when it's just right there.
You're right. But also, great, you get best situations when you can think about it.
True.
I mean, so... she had came out and I was thinking about doing it around Christmas and I was like, don't be the slap that does it on Christmas. Don't be a slap that does it on Christmas because that could be kind of stupid because people do it on Christmas. I don't know. I didn't want to be like, kiss begins with K. Like, I didn't want to be a situation right. like that. Like, do it on Christmas.
Those are, I tell you what, when you said that, I got fired up about Christmas.
Yeah, dude, Christmas is so great.
I love it.
And her birthday was on the 28th. So I had a couple different options. Wow. The 28th was a Saturday. So we're flying to Denver, traveling to Denver. She's going to the game. She wanted to go eat at a nice spot. And I had my ring, carried it around in my backpack like an idiot. Everywhere I went, football meetings, like it was my, you know, backpack with holes in it and everything. I'm carrying my diamond ring in there. So I come up with like, okay, Friday, I'm going to take her to eat, try to find a couple spots, went through like the Raiders. Shout out D'Angelo for helping the boy out and hooking the boy up. But we sat at this little spot that's like in downtown Berkeley, California. And we sat at this little table in the front window so you could kind of see everything. We were kind of not, we weren't really secluded from everybody. We were still like in public, which I, again, tough. And instead of, cause I almost, when I almost did on Christmas or the day after Christmas, I was close to doing it. Called her dad, left a very nervous voicemail. He didn't answer. I was getting frantic. I'm like, oh fuck. Okay. I wipe my own ass. Bail mission.
Bail.
I'm not doing it tonight.
Yeah.
Sit down. I'm like, fuck dude. Like you gotta like get your mind, get out of your own way and just fucking do this thing. Yeah, it's going to be feel better when you do it. So Charles always wanted me to write her a love letter.
Oh.
And I've always kind of dismissed that idea.
Sure.
Because of the whole, like, it's too sweet, corny type of thing. Right. So I would kind of laugh at, you know, the boy.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, boom, light bulb went off. I can write the love letter and it can be my engagement. It could be my proposal. So I wrote a love letter. First try. Blank sheet of paper. No lines. Wrote it perfectly. Line for line. Didn't get like off kilter, any of that stuff.
And you're a blog guy.
Didn't have to
too.
Redo it. Didn't have to redo it.
Really?
I'm a what guy?
You're a blog guy. Like you've been writing blogs.
Oh, yeah.
And you've had issues with writer's block. This was no problem.
Yeah, for sure. And words are just flowing.
Right.
Set it up. Start from, yeah, I can't say it all.
Right. I actually have a screenshot. Do you want me to pull it
do
up?
Do you?
Yeah.
No. No, don't. Because she doesn't like a whole lot of people knowing because it's like a little us thing, us and Taylor. But so toward the end of dinner, the boy starts sweating hard. And so I basically use her love letter as like her card. Hey, I wrote you a card. This is your birthday present. Hand her the card. I'm like, the only thing you have to do is you have to read it out loud. What do I have to read out? You just got to read it out loud. She opens it up, opens this letter and looks at me. I'm like, it's your love letter you've always wanted. And so she starts reading this love letter.
Crying.
She starts crying after like the first paragraph for sure. She starts
tearing up. How many paragraphs are there? How many pages?
There was three or four.
Three or four paragraphs or pages?
Paragraphs. It all fit on one sheet.
Okay.
So she starts tearing up as she's reading. She still doesn't know what's going on. I just, you know, the boy did well writing this love letter.
Good job.
The last paragraph, it gets into proposing, the whole proposal.
Wow.
And it's like, this has been one of my best years of my life. Will you basically stamp this and make this the best year of my life? And as she was reading that, I moved the little table aside.
Oh, no.
I get down on a knee.
Oh, God.
And I say, will you marry me? And she's already, you know, crying and stuff like that. And, oh, yeah. I can't remember. It all happened kind of so fast, but it was kind of like tears and smiles and sitting on my lap kissing and... Like, you know, you kind of black out in that moment.
Right,
I feel like I don't remember if she said yes or no, but obviously it's a yes. But yeah, that's what happened. And the boy, like, you know, the whole being in public thing conquered it.
Proud of you.
So that's what happened.
Thanks,
guys. There it is.
That's unbelievable. So that's a good little proposal.
This may be like a stupid question, but like coming from me who's not engaged or not married, like, are you nervous about like asking? I mean, you know she's going to say yes, but like...
Dude, I was petrified asking. I was super nervous. Again, like, I just get really nervous. Like, you know, speaking in public, also, I just get super nervous about that whole... And this is like marrying your person.
Yeah.
So you just don't want to stumble over your words. And then I got over that because I came up with a love letter idea. I'm like, okay, I'll be able to knock these birds out with one stone and do it elegantly. Do it solid.
Yeah.
I was super nervous. Were you super nervous?
Yes, I was. Well, actually, yes, I was. So
when the moment is coming, your heart is pounding.
Well, that's where I'm more of a fly by the seat of my pants kind of guy, right?
Tell your story because your story's funny. I like your story.
So Taylor and I were dating for about 24 days, and I called up Mr. A, and I was like, "I need you to get me a ring. I want you to.
This is it.
This is it." And Mr. A is like, "Oh, buddy." Like, hey, maybe take a chill tablet on that.
That's where Jalen Ramsey comes in. Hey, yeah, why people do
that's
that?
That's why people shit right there. And because we were talking, like, I was like, literally, we were almost joking, like, because she's Canadian. I was like, oh, I'll marry you just to keep dating you.
Right.
Like,
just to have you over here.
And so she told me, she was like, I always want to go to Iceland with the person I'm spending the rest of my life with. So I was like, okay, fucking deal. We're going to Iceland. Done. So I started like looking up flights, started figuring out when to go. The ring gets in. Taylor knows the ring's coming in.
Really?
Yeah, she knew. Because I was like, what do you like? What's this? What's that? And she's like, are you getting a ring? I was like, just what you like. She's like, you I like can the have pier.
Whatever you like.
Yeah. So she's like, I like the pair, I like this, blah, blah, blah. So she starts picking stuff out. And she's going to be so mad when she hears this. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining the story. But I had this whole plan of like taking her to Iceland, going hiking, hopefully some Northern Lights action, get down on her knee, make it super romantic, right? I get the ring. I'm in the basement with Mr. A. He gets the ring. He hands it to me. And he's like, kind of like, all right, there you go. Rest, it's up to you. I go upstairs and I'm in the kitchen. She walks in the kitchen. I don't know what to do. I just got on my knee and asked her to marry me right there. From the fucking gate. Thank you. Thank you. So the ring came in about 5 weeks. So we were dating for about 5 weeks when I proposed to her. And then we got.
You just got on and need no words.
Well, yeah, because I was like, it was a really fucked up gig how we met. And, like the whole situation of like.
As you're walking up the stairs or she comes down to the kitchen, what is going on in your mind?
So I'm walking up to her and I'm like,
Were you getting nervous?
No, in my head, I'm like, God, kill. She's like, because she's like, Taylor, you know, she's with intuition. Like, she knows people. She can, you know, decipher everything about you the minute she meets you. And so she knew me like the back of her hand already. And she's like, what's up? What's going on? I was like, well, you know. Hey, so anyway, I popped that motherfucker out on her, and she's like, she got so excited, she sat on my lap. And I was like, hey, you got to stand up for this. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't even remember what I said. She doesn't remember what I said either, but we go and we got married. It was like maybe late February or mid February when I proposed. April 20th. We went and got, we went to this church. Yeah, there's no reason why.
No reason why. Together. Just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence happening like that.
Love the coincidence.
Love the coincidence. It's a funny coincidence. Yeah. Funny. So we go to this small church on Vanderbilt, and we literally like we're like talking about getting married, and we're like, dude, let's just get like because we just met. I was dating somebody, and like I met Taylor, and I like fell in love with Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, from the get go, like right there, and I was like, kind of like fuck. Like, what do I do now?
I know. Tough spot.
So I ended up breaking up with the girl. And it was a total fuckboy move on my part, but it's like, yeah, it's a fuckboy move at the same time. Like,
you made the right decision.
I made the right decision, but like, it obviously hurt that girl in the process.
You wish it would have been earlier, but
I wish it would. I wish everything worked out perfectly. Yeah. There's no good point to break up with somebody.
Yeah.
So I end up breaking up with this girl. And we were like, what do we do? And like, we're talking about like when we should get married. And we're like, well, like, no, everyone's going to question everything. And Taylor's like, everyone's going to question everything. Like, we can get married tomorrow. Let's get married tomorrow. So I was like, we're literally in East Nashville. And I'm like, we're like getting lunch. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's get married tomorrow. So I get on the internet and I find this guy for $300.
We'll Craigslist?
No, it was like like going to marryyou.com or like something like that. Yeah. Some crazy shit like that. I pay like $300. Call this guy up. I'm like, are you ordained? He's like, yeah. I was like, I need you to marry me and this girl tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, okay. Didn't ask a question. All right. Should have probably asked a few things.
Yeah.
But like the guy didn't give a shit. He's like, all right, we'll be there. Like, you guys pick the spot. Taylor calls us this place at this church in Vanderbilt. And she gets it dialed in. They're like, yeah, nothing's going on tomorrow. So Taylor like goes with a friend and like goes and picks out a dress. I'm like, I'll just pick out one of these suits. I'll just get married like that. And there's a picture. I got to find the picture because it's dope as fuck. Like, we go there and like it's me, my biological mom, Mr. A, and like her family on a computer screen. In this church, and there's a picture of her and I like standing far left and far right from each other, just looking at each other, like we're both like bending over, big ass eyes, like we're about to fucking do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is happening right now.
Yeah.
And we got married. We did it. And we didn't have like she had her ring. I didn't even have a ring, so she got two.
Because you didn't make a huge deal because you ended up doing a real thing. Well, the next year,
like 3 months after we got married, she got pregnant with Wynn. And then we didn't get married until like 2 summers after. So like we have been married for almost 2 years or had been married for 2 years.
Before you had the
ceremony. Before we had our wedding that everyone thinks we got married at.
Right.
So it was crazy. But yeah, dude, that was so fucking tight when that happened. There's probably a picture.
Look at the little bean.
There's probably a picture when you have a tiny little bean, chugging beers, catfish. Hold on.
Did you post that picture, you think?
No, I didn't post that picture, but I posted a picture. Okay, good. Go up, go up. Because this is Hawaii. Like, that's me and Jared in Hawaii. I think I deleted them all. Why would I delete them all? Huh. That's the Pidden. Shout out to Pidden.
Yeah, shout out Pidden, dude.
Yeah, no, it's not on here. But it was like total secret. Like, we were married. Literally went to bed. Like, went to the Southern, had some lunch.
Yeah.
Went to bed.
Hey, we're married.
We're married now.
Hey, good morning, wife.
Good morning. It was crazy, bro. It was fucking wild. Dude, we've been doing this podcast for like an hour and 30 minutes. What the fuck?
We're having a good time.
Dude, it was a fun time.
It was good stories, too.
But, yeah, dude, it was cool as fuck. Getting married is super tight. It's super easy when you know it's your person. And me. I'm like, as soon as I know something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I just did it. But, yeah, Taylor's dope as fuck.
Shout out the girls, dude.
Shout out.
Hey, it was funny about mine because that day, Charo had texted her friend because she was like, here, I want to show you something. And I saw her. I forget who she was texting, but she was like, doesn't look like it's going to happen this trip. With a sad face.
Oh, really?
The day that I did it. The day that I proposed.
Damn.
Because her friends, like, you know, God, dude, women and their friends, they'll, like, hype them up. Like, oh, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just to kind of, the dudes get fucked in that situation. Because then when it doesn't happen, there's this expectation on her friend's side that starts building. And just like, fuck that, dude. But anyway, she had to text, like, I don't think it's going to happen this trip. Sad face. Little did she know. For sure. And what sucked is I had the ring for a while. And then I would just give myself a reason to like, okay, that's not the perfect moment. Like, you want a perfect moment, it's just not going to happen.
I know. I kind of robbed Taylor of a perfect moment. But she always says, like, that was our perfect moment.
I'm yeah.
Like, yeah, but that's...
She laughs about it, though. Yeah, it's so funny. She's like, oh, here's how Taylor fucking did it.
Dude,
just get perfect. On her knee in the kitchen.
I love you.
Iceland would have been sick.
Iceland
proposal would have been sick.
But then I would have been on the plane. I would have done the plane. I would have at the security check. I'd have been like, hey, by the way, you know what I'm saying? I'm not holding that ring in my backpack. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I know.
I can't have a burden on my chest. You know what I'm saying? I just got to like, I can't, not a burden, but you know what I'm saying? Like weight on my chest and like stress. It's fucking tough. Well, I tell you what, the best move would have been bar three.
I know. That would have been a great move.
Break into her bar three class.
Yeah.
Just do it right there.
For sure. That would have been a solid move.
But the love letter is awesome too.
Taylor was like wanting to go to the bar three that day. I'll go in with you.
Just fired up.
Oh, the boy, man. Shout out the boys. We get a roll, but hey, what do you think about running this pod next week?
Ask the producer.
Instead of Wesley Woodard? Or are you talking about
the next week? Yeah, because here's my thought. Here's my thought. We have 4th of July merch. Go buy our 4th of July merch.
Oh, rep shit.
The boys. 4th the boys. And have fun, dude. Like, rep or buy it. Tweet us when you get it. Have a lot of fun with us. 4th of July. We're obviously going to do it big, as we always do. I love 4th of July. It's one of my favorite holidays.
Love the merch, too. We love doing merch.
Yeah. We love doing merch.
Merch ideas, dude.
We love doing merch. Work. And super stoked for the 4th of July merch to come out, because we didn't do 4th of July merch last year.
No, we didn't.
So.
Because we fucked up.
Yeah.
But sure. We're not fucking up this year.
BarstoolSports.com at the store. Bussin' with the Boys. That's the brand you'll go to. Go there. Buy the merch for the boys. Tweet at us that you bought it. Right. Show the receipts. Everyone does a whole receipt thing now. But. Go buy it up. Go have fun. Shout out the boys. Appreciate you guys listening. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast on any platform. Follow us, Bussin' WTB. We also have a YouTube channel. Go watch it. Subscribe there, Bussin' with the Boys. And yeah, merch is on Barstool's website. Go under the Bussin' with the Boys brand. You'll find all of it there.
And let us know what tier you are, dude. If you're tier 1, 2, or 3 for the boys.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that in the beginning.
Just got to know, if are you tier 1,
are you in the fucking wolf pack?
Are you?
That's what we want to know.
Dude.
Because if you're in the fucking wolf pack, it's not a some of the time thing.
We don't want no scrubs.
Yeah, it's an all the time thing. It's a commitment.
Yep.
Guys, gals, people of all ages, appreciate you so much for tuning in to another episode of Bussin' with the Boys. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever platform you're on. We're on there. We have a YouTube channel, Bussin' with the Boys. We would love if you subscribe there as well. If you are subscribed and you want to be more for the boys, unsubscribe and resubscribe again. It sounds funny and stupid and kind of obnoxious, but
all of your subscriptions and resubscribing and stuff. It helps in these little algorithm games for climbing charts, because again, we are very organic. You guys, where we're at is because of you guys. So we like to keep it fucking organic and just from us, dude, us versus the world. But we really do. We really appreciate your guys' support. A few of you had questions about merchandise. You can go. Our merchandise store is on barstoolsports.com. Go over to shop, and we are under the brand Bustle with the Boys. You can find all of our gear there. We restock constantly now. If you guys have any ideas, shout us out. If you guys buy the gear, shout us out. We really do love when you guys talk back to us, add us, mention us, put us on your stories, tag us. All that fun stuff. We like grabbing that stuff and putting it on our YouTube episodes. And again, we just love it, man. We love you guys. We appreciate you so much. Keep being for the fucking boys. Keep being a wolf. The biggest of hugs and the tiniest of kisses. We love you. We appreciate you. Tune in next week for another episode of Bustle with the Boys. But the judge stops by from time to time. Says he loves the way.